This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's your ESPN Radio three-day forecast brought to you by the U of I College of Aces. For a more than meets the eye opportunity, you can visit them online at aces.illinois.edu.
This is it, man. This is the last day.
The last day of what?
Of decent weather, even though it's 900 mile an hour wind.
It's not that decent, because right now it's about 40 mile an hour winds. It's going to start thunderstorming at 6. There's a chance for severe weather, not tornado.
Good sleeping weather.
Yes, good sleeping weather. Okay. And then tomorrow the temperature drops by about 20 degrees from 73 to 53.
No, no.
It doesn't look bad. I mean, Thursday's 55 and sunny. Friday is 58 and sunny.
Okay.
But it's definitely heading towards, this is probably the last day in the 70s unless we get something really weird.
Right.
Again, next week or the
week
after.
Two of my chairs, well, my only two chairs, had been blown over when I got home today from the office. It's like, make sure you get all your stuff, garbage cans, all that stuff inside.
Yeah, don't leave anything outdoors.
No, that's not at all. Not at all.
Right now, 73 and windy, ESPN Radio.
Let's go.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Let's go for a little ride.
It's all just...
And it all falls down.
I'm not going to sing on there ever again.
No, please.
Well, that's still better than me. I can promise you that.
You guys seen my ring?
No. Your ring?
That was a little bit of a joke.
Oh. My bad. That's my bad.
I'm just all over the place.
I know, and I'm slow to it, which is really dangerous for me. All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise delivered the weather. He's got things to do. And Isaac Ambrose is in with us today, and he'll help us recap the NFL, especially in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also hear more from Lovie Smith. He met again today, including his idea of who the starting quarterback will be this weekend against Rutgers. Isaiah Williams, who had to sit out a couple of games due to contact tracing, is now eligible to start. And, of course, Caron Taylor has played the last two games, albeit decent game one that he played. He seemed to bring some excitement, Derek, as you mentioned. Game two, not so good.
No, it wasn't so good.
And I'm sorry, I feel like, okay, Caron, you've gotten your chance now, and I'm glad he did, whatever. Now you have to go to Isaiah Williams, and you have to see what you have going forward.
Yeah, it's really important. We're in a position now where what else are you playing for?
Correct.
And if you're looking for some ray of sunshine, not only for this year but for the future, Isaiah yes. Williams, you would hope that's where it's coming from. So there's no question, obviously, if Isaiah could have played against Purdue, he would have done so, and we were looking forward to that. But there was that possibility that Caron Taylor comes out against the worst defense, what was the worst defense in college football, and if he shreds them, then, okay, it's your job again, yeah. Go to Rutgers and keep this thing rolling. That didn't happen. His completion percentage is way down, didn't do enough in the running game.
Right.
You're not satisfied.
No.
And you're hoping that Isaiah, now coming off of the contact tracing, can get in a groove and practice and hopefully do some things.
Illinois basketball schedule not released. The Big Ten has not released a schedule. I predicted it would be on Tuesday. I was wrong. So
we'll wait and see.
Well, that's true. We still have time.
The 5 o'clock news drop is a thing.
Good call.
That's possible. Okay. There's been some things on our show that have dropped literally with maybe a minute left.
Yes. Or it's 6:01.
True.
So we'll hold case to that. And I want to talk to you about that in a second. But since we started with Lovie and the quarterback situation, I thought I would play that soundbite of him on talking about who should be the starting quarterback this weekend. Here's Lovie Smith from today.
Well, I have a good idea. Like yesterday, I had a great idea. I have one right now. But hey, what did you say? You say, you know, I can't answer it, but I'm going to answer it.
Well, I know you can answer, but I was just wondering if we could have a name this time.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I'm pretty consistent with what we do. And
well, that's true.
We're on the practice field today, so each day kind of tells us something. More options you have, the better off we'll be.
Okay, so we don't really know anything, and I guess they'll learn and assume who they think should start this Saturday between Isaiah and Karan. I don't mind Lovie, or I'm sorry, Derek, I just called you Lovie. What I was going to say, Derek, is I don't mind Lovie. Why wouldn't you just say Isaiah's our guy? What are we worried about? It's starting to worry me that Isaiah Williams is not your future quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what it's telling me right now, because otherwise, why wouldn't you come out and say Isaiah Williams was number two on the depth chart? He had to miss two games due to contact tracing. Karan Taylor played two games. We're 0-2. He didn't look good this last week. And now Isaiah Williams, who was number two on the depth chart while Taylor was number four, is available to play. What are we waiting on?
I'm with you. I was concerned last year when Matt Robinson was number two.
Good call.
And by the end of the year that Isaiah hadn't passed him up. And I get it that he's a true freshman, and you don't see a lot of those guys unless you're the five-star or the five-star come in right away and expect to do things year one. So then it was a different kind of a summer. Then the depth chart says on the two line, it's Isaiah Williams or Matt Robinson.
Yeah.
Which even that was a little frustrating. It's like, okay, Isaiah, are you what fans thought they were getting?
Exactly.
And you're still only a redshirt freshman, but given the choice of Karan Taylor, Isaiah Williams, unless you just want to see Isaiah, who hasn't been able to practice because of contact tracing, maybe he, if he doesn't look good, you'll flip the switch and go Karan again.
Right.
But Karan was 6-for-17. Passing against Minnesota. His QBR in the two games combined out of 100, 9.8.
Oh.
So that's,
and against,
that's pretty bad.
At the time was the worst defense in football in a lot of categories was Minnesota. And I may have said it wrong because I think Matt Robinson, I think you're right, Matt Robinson was actually two on the chart. Isaiah was three, or however way you want to put that. They're still above Karan Taylor. And like you just said, Karan Taylor is giving you nothing if you look at the stats. And that's what we should look at.
Yeah, it's not enough.
So, I mean, I'll put it this way. Here's my message to Illinois football. If you want me interested about this game against Saturday against Rutgers, then start Isaiah Williams. I know that doesn't matter to Rod Smith and Lovie Smith and what they think about and who they're going to start. And I get it if Isaiah Williams comes out, just looks horrible, I guess, in practice. But if you want the attention of Illini fans this week, play Isaiah Williams. This, to me, is the perfect scenario. You're getting Brandon Peters back next week, we assume. So why not try Isaiah and see what he does? And if he doesn't do anything, then you may have a pretty good idea about his future at Illinois. I don't want to all hang it on one game, but you get my meaning. And then next week, you'd have Brandon Peters ready to go. I think, and this isn't a hot take because I don't know how to do them, Isaiah Williams will be your starter, I think, this Saturday. I really feel like that's the case. I just don't know if Lovie, I don't know if he's being coy with Rutgers.
But the problem is they're both
the same quarterback.
Yeah. It's not even worth doing that.
It's a good call. Okay, this offense is sputtered. And granted, the last 2 weeks you've played with Karan Taylor and you've played with a new center. However, in week one against Wisconsin, you didn't even score.
Yeesh.
And it's been an issue with Rod Smith's led offense here. I don't know that it set the world on fire last year.
It didn't.
And this year now you're off to a staggering, you've stuttered basically out of the gates. So they asked Lovie today about his involvement with the offensive gameplay.
Everybody that plays, everybody that starts, it goes through me. I okay that. And our game plan the same way. So being involved, I'm involved with the special teams too. That should answer the question. On where we are right now, there's a group effort on putting all of our minds together to see what we need to do differently to take that next step.
Okay. Well,
there's a lot you have to do differently.
Yeah, right. That is exactly right. So we will see what happens. You've got a chance against Rutgers, who is one team, I'll give Lovie credit, it is one team that he has beaten more than not. at Illinois in the Big Ten. The only team that he has defeated more than he's lost to. So I guess in that sense, you've got a matchup with Rutgers. Put Isaiah in there. Let's see what he can do. I want to see 60 minutes of Isaiah Williams. I want to see what this was all about in terms of bringing him in as a big recruit. And I'm not saying that I'm upset that he's here and maybe he can't, but maybe you have to make a long-term decision here and say, Isaiah, a lot of guys wanted you, a lot of teams wanted you, but not as a quarterback. So maybe at this point we need to look at that and revisit it. And I just feel like if he can't separate himself from Matt Robinson and Coron Taylor, then we've got some issues for a future quarterback.
100%. And he's, in the past three classes, you've gotten 3 4 stars, all came in that same 2019 class with Isaiah, Shimon Cooper, Marquez Beeson. There's still more time for those guys to develop and see what you have there. But if Isaiah isn't it, or if there's still big question marks about him as a quarterback, that just further speaks to the talent's not good enough.
Right.
That falls back on Lovie as well. And that's just another reason to be really concerned about the future of Illinois football.
And I guess if you were one that said, well, let's see what Deuce Spann has, I don't know. Do they still have the idea this year with the shortened season that you could play 4 games and still redshirt? Well, actually, everybody's coming.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
This doesn't count against anybody's eligibility.
Well, hell, throw them all out there. Just go with a stacked backfield of Coron Taylor, Isaiah Williams, and Deuce Spann. And we'll see who gets the ball on each
run
play.
Run a wing T.
We'll just run a wing T with all 3 quarterbacks. All right, that we'll revisit Lovie and the Illini football team next hour. Oh, man. Even though that means you're going to commercial normally, I missed that sound so bad last year. Let's talk Illinois basketball, shall we? We're going to start heating up our, I guess, chatter about Illinois basketball as the season begins November 23rd?
25th.
25th.
15 days away.
Oh, that's closer than you think. That is closer than you think. Okay, we thought maybe the Big Ten schedule would be out today. It hasn't been announced yet. I'm going to hold out hope that it's about 5 o'clock or so that they announce it. But at some point, it's going to come out. You're going to see 20 games in the Big Ten is what we assume. And then, as you mentioned to me off the air yesterday, there's probably a good chance once that schedule is released, we may find out more from Illinois about the non-conference schedule. I'm still crossing my fingers that Missouri could be part of that. I told you yesterday, though, and I want you to react to this. Normally, when the Big Ten schedule comes out, and if you think about Illinois basketball the last 5 or 6 years, when it was kind of a dogfight to get to the tournament. Now, last year, obviously, they would have been in the tournament. But going into the season, you assumed it was a tournament team, but we've thought that before and it didn't happen. So I've always really stared. It's kind of like my baseball schedule. When the Cardinals baseball schedule comes out, I look at who they finish the season with, not who they opening day with. I look to see what that last week is because it seems like it always comes down to the last week. So if the Cardinals are at home a lot and they're not playing, you know, one of the power teams, then I get excited. So my thought is this. There's always the one-off games. In other words, you maybe only play like, I think there's 8 teams, right, that you only play once. And or no, is that right? Or is there 4 teams?
4.
4 teams you only play once. I think that's right. And you play 2 somewhere and 2 at home.
That's right.
So in that sense, normally I look to that to see, okay, did Illinois catch a break here? Or are we going to be fighting to win these games? I told you yesterday, I don't care what they are this year. In fact, I almost hope that you do get to play Michigan State twice, that you do get to play Michigan twice, that you get to play Ohio State twice, that you get to play Iowa twice. In other words, the worst teams in this league, I don't care. I don't care if we only play them once. And it's not that I don't want to win a Big Ten title. I love Big Ten championships. I want this team as prepared and tournament ready as you can be going into the NCAA tournament, because this team has a shot at the Final Four. And Derek, am I wrong there, or am I kind of on?
I think you're on.
Okay.
You did at least acknowledge the fact of the Big Ten title, because part of the argument or explanation for Wisconsin last year was they had a favorable setup.
True.
With who they played and where they played them, and that maybe played into the fact that they shared a Big Ten title with Michigan State and Maryland. So that can be a factor on who you draw. At the same time, when you're a top 10 team for the first time and heading into a season first time since 2004-2005,
wow,
bring them on, whoever.
Right.
Line them up. We always sit here and like shake our heads how Illinois, you would think, got
the bad end of the draw with, let's look who they start the conference season with. Oh, Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin.
That has been an issue the last few years.
It's like a gauntlet to start, right. And then it eases up, and then maybe it gets tougher again. Like last year was at Maryland, Michigan, then resume it with at Michigan State, Purdue at home, at Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Not doing any favors, and this is a loaded league.
Yes, no doubt.
As many top 25 teams as any conference out there. But I'm with you. It's not going to shake you if you see at even if it's like a stretch of three, at Iowa, at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, all in a row.
Let's go.
It's like, let's do it.
Let's see what you got, right? Because I think that's going to be huge for Illinois. I mean, this is a team that other teams don't want to see this year. So Illinois is a team that is on that schedule when other teams are looking at their schedule going, oh, crap, we got to start with Illinois. That's not going to be good for them. So I'm with you on that. Let's get this thing rolling. And the tougher, the better for me in terms of scheduling. I forgot to mention, by the way, Jeremy Horner, our guy, is going to be on at 4:30 with us. We're going to talk some Illinois football with Jeremy coming up here in just a few minutes, and also basketball as well. I'm just excited to get this thing going. Right now, we assume we have the three-team. I keep saying three-team event. It's a four-team event. I just mean Illinois will play three teams. So I always say that wrong. It's the four-team MTE, multiple-team event.
Yep.
And that will be the 25th, 6th, and 7th right here in Champaign at State Farm Center. Then we presume that it's going to be Baylor, and that's in the, what is it?
Jimmy V Classic.
Jimmy V. I'm sorry.
Indianapolis. How did I forget December that? 2nd.
Okay. In the is that official? About as official,
about
as,
official as you can get right now.
And then, of course, you would have Duke in Durham. And
that's official.
That is official. And they announced today no fans in Durham. So I assume the Big Ten, I don't even know if they've made an announcement on that, but I assume there will not
be. The Big Ten hasn't announced anything.
Okay.
As far as scheduling.
Yeah.
The only thing official on Illinois' schedule right now is the game against Duke.
Okay. Got it. Isn't that crazy? And we're
15 days from the start of the season.
So we think everything's going to come rushing in at one time, essentially, with what you've got.
The MTE is set up.
Okay. It,
for some reason or another, hasn't been officially announced. I think Illinois in general, with their schedule, probably similar to some other teams, are just waiting for the Big Ten to come out with their schedule, with their guidelines. That's what they've kind of been holding out for. But in typical Big Ten fashion, waiting to the last minute.
Right. And then because you're hosting the MTE, you get to host or you get to play 27 games. So if you assume 20 in the Big Ten, Baylor, Duke, and the three there, that's 25. So there should be or could be two more games on the schedule. That's where I'm holding my, you know, crossing my fingers for Missouri, and then maybe another, you know, runoff game with a team you should defeat.
Towson.
Yeah, Towson State. Exactly. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now as we go forward. And, of course, we will be here to tell you all about that schedule when it gets released. I cannot imagine it won't be released this week.
It has to be.
I mean, it's crazy.
Like you said, the ACC came out today. One interesting note, and I'll credit Brian Snow, our national guy 24/7, to kind of pointing this out. The ACC didn't give themselves any wiggle room at the end of the conference slate to where it, in a normal season, will be last week, plays right into immediately into the conference tournament. There has been some thinking that maybe a good strategy would be leave a week and a half at the very end, kind of as a buffer between the conference tournament and the end of the regular season schedule. So if and when, and you know it's going to happen, games get canceled, you can then slot then at the very end of that schedule.
Okay.
And that can kind of be your makeup area.
Got it. And, of course, when it comes to COVID, the Big Ten will probably, like football, maintain the 21-day that you're out for 21 days from the moment you test positive to COVID-19. And if you think about it, in football, that's like three games. In basketball, that could be eight.
It technically could, yeah.
That's 3 weeks.
3 weeks. You're usually at least playing two games a week.
So at least, let's say, six or seven you could miss. And then if you contact trace, that's the thing that we were all talking about before this, is just pick out a player on Illinois, whatever. Let's say that he is tested.
Don't say his name because
I'm not going to.
Because you did with football.
I did.
The guy who is the example. I'm not blaming it on you.
I just thought of that. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Brandon. I'm glad you're doing okay. I presume he's doing okay. I will not say a name. So pick a name. Actually, pick an Indiana player's name. Let's do that. No, I'm kidding. But if that player tests positive, there's a good chance he's been around all these basketball games. Yeah. So the contact tracing there, if that is the case, and it's what, 14 days or 10? Is it 14? I can't remember. I think it's 14.
I thought it was 14.
So if that's the case, that could wipe out an entire team for 2 weeks. And that's you're talking 4 or 5 games over the course of a basketball season. That could hammer that. And just think about how much that would be. I mean, like I told you and Trevor before the show, it's good to start ahead of the curve this year, meaning you're a top 10 team in the country. Because if for some reason that exact example happened to you, and you could even get it from playing Wisconsin, let's say, and then all of a sudden they test positive, you've been around them, so this is going to be tricky. But if you start as a top 10 team, when the season ends, and let's say you're ready to go for the NCAA tournament, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, I think, from the committee saying, look, we know Illinois was a top 10 team or one of the best teams in the country. We know they missed these 5 or 6 mm-hmm. games, et cetera. I mean, I hope none of that happens.
I'm with you.
Oh.
I think that's a fair assumption, assuming that Illinois, in the games you actually played, look like the kind of team that they're billed as in terms of their ranking or who they're beating and everything. But yeah, it could get messy, similar to football. Tom Izzo tested positive yesterday. Ugh. Minnesota was announced today they're shutting down their practice after one positive test, and that kind of tells you with basketball, because of the smaller number of players, they're in contact with essentially everybody on the team.
They take it serious. Not like football where those 5 guys sit out and here we go. In basketball, it is we're shutting her down and getting healthy again before we get rolling. Whew, it's going to be an interesting year, that is for sure. All right, when we come back, and it's going to be brought to you by Game Day Spirit, Jeremy Warner, publisher of Illini Inquirer. We haven't talked to Jeremy in a while. He, of course, is the main contributor for Illini Inquirer when it comes to Illinois football, and he has been at all 3 football games, so we will pick his brain on that and Lovey, and we'll talk some basketball with Jeremy Warner. We'll do all that next. If you'd like to weigh in, 217-359-2255. That's 359-2255. Follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanpiper.podbean.com, podbean.com. I got thrown off big time there. Tried to then make fun of myself, and then I got stumbled on even more.
See, I'm really good at making fun of myself.
Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. Watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Jeremy Warner next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Dr. Jared Rogers, OSF Healthcare, we need a flu shot.
You surely don't want the flu and COVID at the same time.
What are you seeing at OSF with anxiety?
We've certainly seen an uptick in anxiety, just outright fear in a lot of people. So we see increased visits for that related to the pandemic. At OSF, we actually have an app that you can download. It's called Silver Cloud, and it then helps you, digitally to manage your anxiety, manage your stress. And so a lot of people are doing that. It's free of charge, doesn't require a visit anywhere to see anybody. And then if you need other assistance, you can certainly still do that.
Is telehealth here to stay?
I believe it is. The ClearBot is on the OSF website, and you can access her by going to OSF Healthcare. She will guide you through what you believe maybe COVID, or if you're even just worried about it.
Visit osfhealthcare.org.
Fighting Illini football is back. And although things will look different this season, one thing remains the same. Game Day Spirit is the best place to gear up to support your Fighting Illini. From apparel to drinkware and everything in between, they have everything you need to cheer on the Fighting Illini this college football season. Visit them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or 6th and Green in Campustown, or shop online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. That's GameDaySpirit.com.
need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Who do you listen to when it comes to your finances? People on the radio, like me, the newspaper, or even online. They are typically talking to the masses and not you as an individual. Every person's financial situation is different. Your situation is different from your friends, neighbors, or even your family. Meet with us, Terry and Tim, at Chesser Financial. We will listen and talk specifically to you. Call Christy for an appointment at 352-5828.
Securities offered through the Owens Equity Sales Company. Member FINRA SIPC. 701 Devonshire Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. 217-352-5828.
When you enroll in Army ROTC, you'll get leadership training that's valuable for any career, and you can get help paying for college.
Army ROTC enhances your college experience and helps you start strong.
Visit goarmy.com/ROTC for more information.
To find out more, visit your campus Army ROTC representative or call 217-265-6857.
Start strong with Army ROTC. Paid for by the United States Army.
Randy Graham at Curtis Orchard.
You know, family means everything to us, and we love to provide a place where families can do things together, where it's not just oriented toward the kids or the adults, or everyone enjoys it equally, which is really nice.
Now, as far as the baking goes, Debbie, you just seem to thrive there using all these family recipes. That's a special touch.
Thank you. I do enjoy getting the right touch on every meal, and I've got some great cooks, and they do a great job.
Visit CurtisOrchard.com.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retirement, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mike Kessel. Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call our office today at 217-352-0117 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, Banking Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Hey Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper. Brought to you this segment by Game Day Spirit. Two locations, Neal Street and Green Street. Find them online, gamedayspirit.com. They have Tommy Bahama stuff.
You're pretty fired up about that.
I am, and I think Jeremy will appreciate this. What's up, my friend?
Hey, I leave and all of a sudden you guys get like celebrity like promos. What the heck?
I was wondering about that when I heard that. Yeah. There was something to do with a contract issue with you that prevented us from getting that, I guess. That's what Stevie told me. I don't know.
SVP and Rosillo weren't fans of us, I guess. Yeah. They were fans of me when we were doing it back in the day.
That is
what's
exactly
up, boys?
Well, I'm excited to talk with you because there's a lot to talk about. When it comes
to, are you really excited?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because the last two Saturdays, when I've been at tailgates, I've had 100 people say, "What do you think Jeremy thinks about this?" I'm like, "Hey, I don't know. We need to have him on, and we'll." And so I hope they're all listening because I'm going to knock it all out in one fell swoop here. But Jeremy, here we go. And don't act like you are alone. And you know that I'm always optimistic, more so than most.
Mm-hmm.
But don't act like you're alone and don't take any blame for thinking this team was going to be better than what we thought and what we see on the field, because I thought the same thing. And why wouldn't you? There's no reason not right to think that. How disappointing, and I know you're not a fan, you're covering the team, but how disappointing is it sitting here on November 10th without a victory?
Oh, it's incredibly disappointing if you're an Illini fan. And I started my column off after Saturday's just embarrassment, apologizing because, I mean, people do listen to me for what they think this team will be. And for longer than, you know, basically the last couple of months, but for the last year, I've been high on this team. And like you said, Lon, why wouldn't you be?
Yep.
Right? They have so much experience. Do you think they have enough talent? There's enough talent on that team, even with the guys who are out due to COVID, to not get blown out 41-14 to Minnesota.
Yep.
That is a failure on the coaching staff's part, and I think they would admit that they are underachieving this year, even if, you know, due to the COVID things, maybe they should be 0-3 or maybe they should be 1-2, but they should be more competitive. And against Wisconsin, you should not have been blown out 45-7. But yes, I mean, this is incredibly disappointing, and it completely changes the narrative of what we thought would happen. Now, I do have to say there are six games remaining, and it's not just to hedge my bets, but there are six games remaining, and I think the next two are must wins for Illinois for the rest of the season. Because Rutgers, they're better. They're better than you right now, but this is a winnable game. And if you don't win this game, I don't see you bouncing back this year. If you don't follow up a Rutgers win with a Nebraska win, I don't see you getting to, you know, a win total that would satisfy anybody. So all of a sudden, you are sitting in this 0-3 hole, and we are completely reevaluating what the Lovie Smith era is. And now we are now six games removed since the last time they have won a game. And that is a problem for Lovie Smith, no matter if they've missed their quarterbacks or what, because this is his roster. This is the guys he's recruited on defense, and they haven't had a lot of guys in defense missing these last couple games. And they're the worst defense in the Big Ten. They're the worst offense in the Big Ten. It is year five. And what Josh Whitman told us when he hired Lovie Smith was naming Lovie Smith as the Illinois head football coach is the first step in taking this program to a place of national prominence. I think most of us understand that by year five, you're not going to be Ohio State or maybe even Michigan, but you should be doing what PJ Fleck is doing, which is 13-17 in the Big Ten since he took over. Tom Allen is 12-18 in the Big Ten since he took over Indiana. And Jeff Brohm is 14-15 in the Big Ten since he took over Purdue. That is what Illinois realistically should have been over the last four seasons. Maybe Lovie Smith turns around with a full roster and everybody back on the back, you know, two-thirds of this season, but certainly doesn't seem to be heading that way. And the facts just don't prove out very well for him right now. And for understandably so, a lot of Illinois fans seem to have jumped off the ship.
Jeremy, we're seeing as Bears fans when you have a head coach who's supposed to be an offensive genius, and that side of the ball is just a complete mess where
right.
It tosses to Cordell Patterson on 4th-and-2 or an idea. It's not a good idea. But defensively with Lovie, again, that's supposed to be his area of expertise. He took on, okay, I'm the defensive coordinator guy. I'm the one calling the shots. I guess what different buttons there are there to push, or just how do you kind of evaluate what hasn't worked there?
Yeah, this whole defense hasn't worked since he's gotten into Illinois, right? No matter what personnel he has had. And, you know, he's had some setbacks here. I will say in the defensive line, Bobby Roundtree's tragedy really impacted Illinois, and Batiku leaving a year earlier than he probably should certainly hurt them on the front, but you also have to recruit to be able to withstand that. I think this back seven has talent. I really do. And they are greatly underachieving. And it's something we've seen for the last 4 or 5 years, right? It's not just a small sample size anymore. It's that, you know, his defense isn't just cover two, but it's a single gap, zone-based defense, but teams continually are able to carve it up, even with the recruits that he's brought here. So it begs the question, I know I've talked to Jake Layman about this, I've talked to other scouts about this, and the thought is that this just doesn't work at this level. Now, Iowa does run something similar, but they find a way to succeed using it, and Illinois hasn't. So Lovie Smith believes in his system, but his system to this point has not worked. And you thought that with so much experience at linebacker with Jake Hansen, who has played solid this year, but Milo Eifert has not played up to expectations. Nate Hobbs has not lived up to expectations. Sidney Brown is having a really, really rough year. Tony Adams keeps having to move foot back and forth, but those guys have a lot of starts, and you still have all these busts. You still have all these, you know, bad, you know, gap sound assignments,
yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
That's not what an experienced team being coached by Lovie Smith should be. And just the numbers don't prove out well. You're not good at stopping the run. You're not good. Well, you were for the first two games, but you were terrible against Minnesota. and you've been awful against the pass. And teams come out, and I think this is a really damning stat, guys, for the staff right now, is in the first three games you've played, you've been outscored 73-24 in the first half. That tells me the game plan you come in with, you're getting completely outcoached. Yeah. They know what to attack you with. They've been down 14-0, I think, in every game.
Yep.
That's not a good sign for the defense. They're attacking you in the middle of the field. Maybe you're not getting beat deep a lot, except for that Wisconsin game, but you are getting beat up and down the field, and they're just finding their way into the end zone. So I think that's a bad sign for the game plan this staff has had, and just the schemes that they have right now just aren't working. And that's just on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, offensively, they're struggling as well.
That last 5 minutes was just on the defensive side.
Lon wants to dive into Isaiah, the offense. We'll ask you about what a path looks like for a win against Rutgers, a win against Nebraska. But I want to go a little macro because you mentioned a lot of fans jumping off the ship and maybe having no thoughts of ever getting back on. Lovie has to probably feel that. I don't know how much he maybe cares or looks outside to see what the perception is, but it's got to be felt inside the program. And I know that with your media interactions, he's gotten a little snippy with the media. I just wanted to ask, how do you feel like he's reacted to just this current state of the football program and kind of where he's at with his seat that seems to be warm?
Can I actually be honest with you? And this might come off as being defensive of Lovie. I think he's been incredibly quotable the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I think he's actually said what he needs to say. He's taken ownership of it, right? I think he said, we're terrible, right? I think he said those things, but he can't just sit there and go, yeah, guys, I suck.
Right,
He's not going to give you that. Like, the answers Illini fans want right now are probably from Josh Whitman, and Josh Whitman's not going to give you that for 6 weeks because we have to see how the season goes. Even though we all think it's not going to go very well, we have to see how the rest of the season goes, and we kind of said that last year at the same time after Minnesota loss as well. He's going to get defensive. I would get defensive probably if people were questioning and criticizing my job all the time, and that happens sometimes on Twitter, and I just try to stay away from it.
Sure,
right? Like,
sure.
You have to do your job, and that's what Lovie Smith is trying to do, but he does have a difficult job now in trying to keep his team on task, right, and making sure that negativity doesn't swarm them. And you know, hearing from a couple players, some are pretty positive still, others like Alex Belcheski, who knows this is probably his last chance, are pretty angry. They should be. But it's how you channel that. Last year, Lovie Smith was able to channel that early. I mean, we were all giving up on them, right? After Minnesota, after Eastern Michigan, after they blew it against Nebraska, after, you know, Michigan, they failed to come back and win that game. Everybody was giving up, but they still believed. So they have to show us that on Saturday at Rutgers. And I think Lovie Smith is a coach that is capable of doing that. But I can tell you, I think an 0-3 start to this season is much more disappointing than even a 2-4 start to last season. And these next two games, I just think, are so important. So I never take any of that media stuff personally. Like, Lovie can get snippy. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it's how he gets his team to respond that matters most. Because the only way he's going to change the minds of fans is if he can keep his players on task and win a bunch of games here.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I did give up, I think, too early last year, and then all of a sudden Wisconsin happened and a bunch of stuff after, and that was fun. And it was quick. It was easily, you know, you jump right back on, and it was fun to watch. All right, I got a little business here. We've got a Stever offer that I need to get out there. It's $25 to Curtis Orchard, and all you have to do is go online, gostever.com. You've got an hour to do this, so you don't have to get on there and be one of the first 10, let's say, like we used to do it. Just go to gostever.com. If you already have an account, log in and then click where you want the Curtis Orchard offer, $25 to the Curtis Orchard store. If you don't have an account, I was able to set it up, and Jeremy knows that's amazing. So it's that simple. Again, go online, gostever.com. Jeremy Warner, our guest, at jwarner247. You brought up Alex Belcheski. What do you think so far of this offensive line? Understanding, of course, that their leader, Doug Kramer, has had to miss the last 2 weeks. You brought in Alex Filstrom, who I thought did fine in a backup role, a kid that was a walk-on tight end back in the day. But overall, how do you grade the offensive line? We had somebody earlier on the College of Aces text line ask us, why they can't protect the quarterback or give them, not maybe protect, but give them more time to throw. How would you rate this this offensive line that we came into the season with such high hopes for?
I will say the last two games, you know, Pilstrom, a great story. I thought he did a serviceable job in the first game that he played against Purdue. Second game, he struggled. He struggled last week against Minnesota. The offensive line, you know, a little bit, I think it's a little overrated in the offseason because Pro Football Focus graded them a little high. I don't think they were the 11th best offensive line in the country, but I think they're a solid middle of the road Big Ten offensive line that has multiple players that have a chance to play in the NFL. Palcheski has struggled a little bit at times, but he was great against Purdue. Vidarian Lowe, I think, struggled last game, but he was great against Purdue. They all struggled against Wisconsin, who has a great front seven. But I don't know if they're ready to beat those teams, but against teams like Minnesota, they were able to run. You know, the running backs the last two games have averaged 6 yards per carry. The least of my concern, guys, is really the running backs and the offensive line. I'm not too concerned about the running game. It's just you're not able to get a running game going when you get down 14-0.
Yep.
Have to go to the pass game so much just to try and catch up. And obviously you're playing a four-string quarterback. And pass protection, I think Illinois has struggled a little bit up the middle, especially. I don't think the pass protection has been great this year. But I also thought Caron Taylor just did not have a good game last game. He's able to run the ball, but we saw last game, and we saw against Purdue with all the turnovers, why he was the four-string quarterback. I just thought he hung onto the ball for far too long. I think Caron's got to have that clock on where it's 2-3 seconds, then you just got to run. Then you got to make a play. I think King's got to move a little bit quicker for him. And I actually thought he did better with that against Purdue than he did against a bad Minnesota defense. So quarterback play is incredibly important, guys. And the quarterback play for Illinois through three games, and that includes Brandon Peters week one. I didn't think he was very good at all. You can't win with the quarterback play that Illinois had.
Jeremy Warner's a professional, so he leads me right into what I was going to ask next, which is the quarterback room. Obviously, Brandon Peters out one more week. We assume he will be back in 2 weeks if everything goes correctly. And now you've seen Caron Taylor 2 weeks. You saw a little bit of Matt Robinson. He got nicked up. Now you've got Isaiah Williams sitting there who could not play the last two games because of contact tracing. But here he is, Jeremy. And I am sitting here, and I told Derek to start the show, I don't understand why, and I get it, I guess, that Lovie came out today and said, well, we're not really sure. We're going to watch how it develops over practice. Maybe he's being coy to Rutgers, but does that really matter at this point? To me, it's just, let's go. I mean, and I told Derek, if I'm an Illini, well, I am. I'm an Illini fan, and if you want me to be interested in this game Saturday, then start Isaiah Williams and let me know what he's got, because I think it's a perfect time to put him out there and let's see what we have. Would you agree?
I completely agree with you, Ron, because me, I'm going to Piscataway. I might as well see Isaiah Williams, right?
Exactly.
This might as well be the, hey, if they win or lose, does it really matter? Let's just see what we got. I kind of agree with that, especially after how Caron played last week. Now, we did see some promise out of Caron Taylor, and I think what's going to happen, guys, and I find it really interesting, just to rewind here a second. I asked Lovie Smith yesterday when those players who were in contact tracing would return, because I didn't know if it would be Monday and they could start practice and have the full week of practice, or it would be Thursday and they wouldn't have any practice, because that would determine whether Isaiah Williams would be able to play
or not, in my opinion.
But they're back tomorrow.
Okay.
So Isaiah Williams is back tomorrow. That tells me Caron Taylor was the quarterback today at practice, right? And 2 days, 3 days, is that enough to be the starting quarterback after not really doing anything the last 2-3 weeks? That's a tough spot for Isaiah Williams to be in as a starter. I would kind of give the edge to Caron Taylor starting this game, but I would be surprised if we don't see Isaiah Williams as well. And I think what will happen is if Caron Taylor struggles, you'll probably see Isaiah Williams get the ball, because he had beaten Caron Taylor for a backup job, or at least a role ahead of him on this team. So maybe Caron gets the start. Maybe he learned this week. Maybe he improves, because he's definitely got more game experience than Isaiah. Well, let's be honest. Isaiah hasn't been very good when he's been in, especially at the quarterback position. So I want Isaiah to play. It's more interesting to me. He won the job at the 2 or 3, no matter where you put him with Matt Robinson, ahead of Karon Taylor. Sure. But I do know Illinois has liked some things it saw out of Karon, especially during the Purdue week, in practice last week. But I just was not very encouraged by what I saw in his decision-making, his processing in the passing game last week. So probably, if I had to predict, it's Karon Taylor getting the start with a very short leash and Isaiah getting mixed in there, which is not ideal, guys. Anytime you have to play two quarterbacks, I'm not a big fan of that.
Few more minutes here, Jeremy. Would you like to close out talking basketball or Tony La Russa?
it's still too fresh. Can we just talk Illinois basketball? My White Sox guys have gone from, you know, this great, likable team to all of a sudden they've lost all goodwill with the fans. So I would prefer Illinois basketball, but if you want me to expound, I will on Tony La Russa.
I want to know real quick, Derek, if anybody's asked him about Luke Ford. Is he in the game? You know what? I have to give credit to everybody out there because you are so dialed into these games because you're there. The rest of us are having a few cold beers way before the game starts. So when it starts, we just keep going, where's Luke Ford?
He needs to get a couple targets.
He does.
He needs to get a couple targets. And that's been on Karon the last couple games. He missed them possibly for the game time touchdown against Purdue on a drag route. But Luke has played, I think, about 40% of the snaps. Run blocking, I think he's just been okay. I think it's just a reminder that he hasn't played a lot of college football. I think he's very talented. I think he's got a great chance to be an impact player. But obviously hasn't gone how he hoped, and I think Illinois would like to play him more. But Daniel Matsuo-Bebe has made, you've seen that he's good, and I think Daniel Barker's pretty dang good, guys. Yeah. So Luke's got competition at that position. They got a lot of talent there.
Jeremy, in your opinion, who's a guy we're not talking enough about on the basketball team?
Ooh.
Put you on the spot, my bad.
You don't totally did.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the right answer to this. Because we talk a lot about Curbelo and Miller because they're new. I feel like we talk about like Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk a lot. Probably more than we should. We talk about Io and Kofi enough, but I just don't know, like, you know, Io, how good he, do people still talk about how good he is, but I think that's true. I would probably go Derek because Austin Hutcherson isn't going to play Jacob Grandison, right? Because I think that's a rotation player who plays at a position, the four, that you're still so, that is your weakness. Like, you don't have the player you want at that position, and Jacob's probably really more of a three, but if he can, you know, rebound a little bit, shoot the three, make a three or two a game, and just take a little of the production that you lost from Alan Griffin along with Adam Miller, I think that gives you a huge boost to depth that you absolutely need. And, you know, DeMonte, we know he's going to be pretty good, but I think there's 40 minutes basically between those two that Jacob's probably going to be on the floor a lot more than people probably talk about.
I like that answer.
Okay.
Trent could be one. We talk enough about Trent, but if he hits the three this year, that could be
huge.
Another guy that maybe we're underselling a little bit. But how much, final question for you, out of the Illini Inquirer budget, if we could break this news, what would we pay for a pocket basketball schedule? What would we pay to just get that scoop and break that?
Boom.
Man, schedule news is the biggest thing. Like, you guys know I am not the big schedule guy. My wife is a bigger schedule girl than I am schedule guy. She wants to know when I'm going to be where
exactly.
I'm going to be there. I just know I'm going to be, like, whenever they tell me I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there. So, I know people like to fill out like their schedule of wins, losses, and all that. I'm not too into that, but I'm not too worried about it, Derek, because I know November 25th we'll have a game, and we'll have a bunch of games after that, and I'll take it day by day because I think this winter with both football and basketball will be pretty busy. day today.
Oh, my. Extremely busy. Jeremy Warner, you've been so busy, we hesitate to even have you on. And finally, I'm like, we can't wait any longer. We have to talk to him about football and get his thoughts on basketball as well. Well done, as always. Publisher of Illini Inquirer, former Jeremy Warner Show, of course, at JWarner247. I've talked to your wife a ton lately, but tell your kids hi. How about that?
Will do. Thank you, boys. Anytime.
All right, buddy. That is Jeremy Warner. Great stuff on the Illinois football team. Jacob Grandison. I still say we don't talk about Adam Miller enough. For what he's going to give to this team. I do like Grandison, though, because let's be honest, with Grandison and Hutcherson, we've heard about them for 2 years and don't know anything about them in terms of what they look like on a court. And that is one of those things where I remember when they used to have the, what they call that, Midnight Madness.
Yep.
And there were times where you normally just focused in on the freshman, right? Like, all right, here comes, I don't know, I'm trying to think of freshman back then, whatever, just pick one out.
Brian Cook.
Yeah, here comes Cook. We got to see what he's got. We got to see all this stuff. Here comes D and Darren and these guys. Let's see what they've got. So if Midnight Madness was this year, I want to bring in Isaac here too, Isaac Ambrose. If Midnight Madness was going to occur this year, Isaac, who would you, like Derek just asked Jeremy, who's the one guy? I mean, you've seen plenty of Io. You've seen plenty of Kofi. Who's the one guy that you'd be eyes on at Midnight Madness more than anybody?
It would definitely have to be Adam Miller, since you said that. And I would want him to recreate that video that was going around on Twitter of him dunking on that guy.
Oh.
Because it was just so explosive. And the shorter a guy is, the better it looks when he dunks on somebody. So the fact that Miller's, what, 6'3"?
Yeah.
And just seen him knock down some threes. And I will admit, I went to Michigan State's Midnight Madness a few years ago, and Miles Bridges was a freshman. And that was awesome, seeing him dunk. So I definitely think we should bring that back to Champaign.
I agree. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to think to myself, probably be my guy, Curbelo. But the flip side of that is, what's he going to, he's going to go out and throw a lot of passes. So maybe for Midnight Matt, maybe I understand as a basketball fan and a guy that kind of knows basketball, that I'm going to appreciate Curbelo. Maybe he's not the guy that I just sit there and go, oh. So I think for me, it would be, knowing that Hutcherson's hurt, I think for me, if you said, Lon, you can come watch a practice tomorrow, I think my eye would be on Jacob Grandison to see how he's going to help this team. Not that he would be like an X factor to make you like over the top, let's say.
Yeah.
But you want to know what kind of minutes he's going to give you and where's he going to help you? Is it shooting? Is he going to be able to grab a board? Can he play defense? I think that would be it for me, too. So I think that's maybe the right call.
Yeah, he was someone that stood out when I was watching practice last fall. Obviously, I haven't seen him in a while since then. I think for entertainment value, if you're at a Midnight Madness, Adam Miller's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to make the 30-foot threes, or he's going to go up and dunk. Curbelo, you're going to have some fun with his flair and his passing. If I'm trying to learn something about the team, and I've seen Adam too many times to count.
Exactly.
I'm probably locking in on Coleman Hawkins.
Okay.
Can this guy help at all?
Good. Adam just said that on the College of Aces text line. What would it mean if he can help you?
Could mean potentially quite a bit. I'm not expecting a lot from him defensively or rebounding wise, but if he's someone you can slot into the four and he can shoot threes and he can put the ball on the floor a little bit, he's really, really skilled. It's going to happen for him. It's just whether he's going to break through this year. The coaching staff's been bullish on him, but we'll see when the live bullets fly, as they like to say.
I like that. Maybe you and Adam are on to something here, because there's a perfect example of a guy we haven't talked about enough, probably Coleman Hawkins. So look, we just went for 5 minutes to figure that out, and we settled on Coleman Hawkins. Because if the coaching staff's bullish on him, maybe they think he could truly get it to a spot where we've been wanting help at the four spot forever. And if Coleman Hawkins could be that guy, that'd be huge. All right. Good stuff. Lovie Smith, we're going to hear more from him. He met with the media today. When we come back, a few more thoughts from Lovie, including one on Roderick Perry and also the offensive line. We'll get his thoughts on that. And then we'll recap NFL Week 9. The Jets almost won a game. We'll even talk about the Jets next. It's the Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.